Hall of Fame. It really was.
That was the first place I went to when I came to interview for the job at Riff. They took me to Metro Music Cafe.
When I first met you, that's where I was circling, was you and Pemberton were going to be in front of the Metro Music Cafe.
Is that what we met? Because I was saying we met at the Ritz.
Well, no, we first I met you at Metro Music Cafe.
God damn it, we're not that old. We should know where we met.
I know.
How romantic.
I know.
Yeah. Can we get some music to accompany this conversation?
You had a beard then.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what's funny about that?
But you know what? We may have hooked up there, but then we may have went somewhere else from there.
What an asshole. I had a beard. You know, I was unemployed, and I grew a beard for like a month or something, and I did the interview with a beard, and I remember when I came back to start the job, it was a while later.
You didn't have it.
No, I woke up one day and I went, what a jerk. Why do I have a beard? I never have a beard.
Yeah, because then when I went to Riff to hook up with you, I didn't even know that was you in the hallway running around, because the beard was gone,
and
it was just
funny.
So radically different.
Yeah.
And
yeah, those are some tough times. I mean, it was fun. The beginning was fun, but then the first day we started on the air, Lynn Woodison quit.
Yep.
That was a little wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah. There was a huge wrinkle before that when Calvert split from her and then went to Wheels, and then eventually he went from Afternoon at Wheels to something else.
Lynn was going to work with us and with Zip, and was she actually? No, we never did a day on the air. We came in and sat in and kind of observed.
Mm-hmm.
And Zip and I drove around town, kind of got stuck in traffic and lost and found. And
right.
And then we came in the next couple days and sat in with Lynn. And you were calling in. You were doing stuff.
I was doing bits and I was calling in. And you guys were there observing. And then the next day when you went on the air, she wasn't there because after that day she was. You guys were observing that.
Mm-hmm.
She quit.
Well, we were observing, and at the end of the day, it's funny because one of the few comfort zones that morning was when you called in because I thought, oh, this guy's going to work with us. This guy's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And the bits were good, and I thought, we got something going on here, you know, because we had like, you know, it was us, and there were like four additional people. It was Fred McLeod,
mm-hmm.
and Lynn, and you.
Yeah.
But, you know, Lynn was pretty critical to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat in that day. I thought everything went fine. You know, it seemed like, how do you do this? How's this board work? Blah, blah,
right.
blah. And, you know, Lynn was real helpful. And then at the end of the day, she said, bye, guys. You know, literally, bye, guys.
Yeah.
Walked down the hall, resigned, and I didn't see her again for maybe 4 years until she came back to CSX and started the Christmas party.
Wow.
Actually, I bumped into her at another Christmas party prior to that, but it was a little stilted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boy, was that a mistake.
What's that?
Lynn.
Oh, well, I'm not sure how she feels about it. I won't speculate. She's nice to us now, I know that.
I had many conversations with her after that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And
anything,
Calvert.
Anything you can share with the group?
Not a bit of it.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I knew you wouldn't think so. And Calvert and all that.
She did make there was a little swipe in the paper a few days after that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the effect that 2 days after I left, they were doing tampon jokes.
Yeah.
Was
that was
am
quote.
I quoting that?
Yeah, actually, you've got that very right.
I forgive her.
Hey, those were weird times.
Hopefully she forgives me for the tampon joke. I don't even think I made a tampon joke either.
What's
that's
the joke?
I don't think there was a tampon joke. I really don't. I think
the idea was that everything got... There was a content change.
Yeah, the content did get a little more ribald.
Yeah.
Perhaps than she had anticipated. Maybe that's why she walked out. But there was no teary goodbyes. She
walked
down to Bob Schutt's office.
There weren't any tears.
Wherever Bob is.
Ever.
And said goodbye.
Right. Yeah, right.
And we were left with the ball.
Yeah.
And that, I tell you what, that ball was, it didn't move around the court too well for a while.
No.
It was kind of like, who stuck with this?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bizarre.
I sincerely thought it was the Ritz, because you were sitting at the bar, and a cigarette was pouring, smoke was pouring from your mouth.
Of course.
And actually, that was a good meeting. I felt very good.
Yeah, that was good.
Cops.
Yeah, that was good.
But Lynn's departure, there was a pretty big... That was a pretty big wrench. That was definitely an unexpected development.
Yeah, that very much was, yeah. I didn't even know that was coming.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, that's right. You didn't know.
No, nobody did.
She was going to help get us over. It was kind of like, well, everybody knows Lynn. Everyone likes Lynn. And, you know, hopefully you guys can come in and, you know, it'll take a while. The audience is resistant to new things. They like Ken Calvert.
Right.
They like Lynn. And then all of a sudden Lynn's gone. So it's like, there's no transition to make people like you except Mike.
Right.
And you were doing the call-ins then.
And then I joined you and Zip. Yeah. And then a year later, Zip left.
Yeah.
Then it was you and I. And then there was
Fred left in the meantime.
That's true.
People were being shedded like
all
of a sudden, like skins.
Yeah, right. There was some awfully tense month. The hallway was pretty quiet for a while.
Yeah,
and then
I knew Fred was leaving 5 minutes before Fred knew Fred was leaving.
Yeah. I think that was the case all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I think even when Ken left, that was.
Oh, was that about a 5 minute warning?
That was, I think, a 5 minute warning for Lynn. I think.
Yeah, boy.
I'm not sure.
Wow.
I might be wrong.
Is that right? Because they worked together for a long time.
May have been 24 hours. But,
that may have left a bitter taste. But, hey, she's doing her thing now. It's
everything is great.
Everybody's happy.
Everybody's delighted.
Life is good.
Yeah. Since then on the other side of the fence, George Beyer, who was Dick the Bruiser.
Yeah.
He went up north.
That's right.
Charlevoix.
Mm-hmm.
And then... somehow or another, in the end, it's Jim Johnson and Lynn, and Calvert's on afternoons, and we're here, and we went through a year of...
hell? I'd say more like 2 years of hell.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
Although it started good,
yeah,
and then it slumped. The whole Zip thing was a wrinkle.
That was kind of messy.
Yeah, and it got better, and you could see it coming. However, do you recall... when CSX bought us,
yes,
I think the original idea was that the CSX show was going to be the high personality show in the company, and our show was going to be the 8 records an hour show.
Right.
The only question was, were we going to be the people playing the 8 records?
Right. Yeah.
And I wasn't so sure about that.
Yeah. Nor I.
However,
yes.
When in the interim period when CSX bought Riff.
Which was another huge upset.
Yeah, that was.
That was another wild thing for everybody.
Do you recall the reason given by the owners of Riff when they had the big meeting? You guys weren't here for any of this.
No.
You probably heard about it, though. I don't know why we're sharing all this today.
I don't know either. Somehow we're just feeling
memories.
We're just feeling open this morning.
Yeah, really intriguing.
When Great American held the meeting to describe... The merger of equals.
Yeah, right.
And this is not the current management. The former management actually told the staff, and we were in the room at the time, that we really fought hard and we tried to make this Riff thing turn around, but we never could overcome the morning show change. That was a shot!
Yeah. We were in the back of the room listening to that. Mm-hmm. Going like... oh, nervous is why there's new soft and dry.
That was a definite career low point.
Yeah, it was.
That was a cheap shot.
It was a cheap shot. It was a cheap shot.
Because they didn't spend a dime promoting our show.
Not in the least. They wouldn't promote that thing. No way,
why promote something you're not sure you're going to keep?
Well, yeah, and we knew that.
Yeah.
You don't promote anything until you're sure of it.
So... they, in the interim, that deal didn't go right through.
No.
In fact, boy, this is another good story. Osham, our program director, took some tapes from some big, let's see, it was a radio convention. And Ralph.
Oh, man. that.
Ralph Cipolla was talking about the CSX audience and how they could play 300 records a week and the audience would never notice the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I know. Because they used to talk about the huge music library.
Right. They promoted their huge music library, and he was telling the
the radio types.
Yeah.
Because he was a guest speaker.
Right.
No offense, Ralph.
No, not at all.
Certainly no one expects what was going to happen.
No, we didn't know there was commando techniques going down.
But it kind of implied that the audience is so stupid that we can tell them we're playing tons of records, and they don't, because we mix them so well,
right,
and play them at different times, they never turn up at the same time for maybe a week, that they don't notice that we're really only playing 300 or 400 or however many it was.
And not only that, if you recall, there was a very not-so-flattering description of that audience.
Yes. Which is not uncommon in conventions like that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's smarter than the audience.
Right.
And additionally...
And for those picking that up, that meant that the program director and everything else had left by now, the Pembertons and all that stuff.
Right. They'd all been blown out. We were the last people to blow out.
Yeah.
And that was because
we watched bodies
that was
going down.
There was a contract. That's the only reason.
There were like two bodies a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But also in that infamous speech, something was said about Eli Zarrett.
Yeah.
Something rhythm and fluttering.
Yeah, that's right.
Eli was doing sports, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So our boss you could buy the tapes. I mean, who in God's name would buy the tapes at these conventions?
Yeah.
But you could, and of course, I'm sure it flatters as hell when our boss, Greg Osham, purchased the tapes.
Yes, he did.
Took Ralph's comments and put them in promos on Riff.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was so messy
that it
almost threw the whole deal into oblivion.
Yeah.
It was like the CSX operators, who are now our bosses, Greater Media, they said, you get those promos off the air or there's no deal.
Yeah, because there was some major, that was some major damage going down.
But that took a lot of heat off of us, if you recall.
Yes, I do.
In the meantime.
It did, man. And there was another one queued up ready to go that was going to be even a larger nuclear warhead.
That's right.
And it was ready for launch.
That one, yeah.
Well, that, I don't know if that one should be discussed.
No, let's not discuss that at all. But let's just say it was queued and loaded, and it would have been most unfortunate.
The funny thing was, while all that went on, that stuff was so messy and moved so front burner that Drewy and Mikey slowly started playing less songs every hour.
Something that had been frowned on before.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, guys, you played six songs an hour today, okay?
That bit ran a minute 40.
Yeah.
You could have done that in a minute 20.
Right. A little too much wind on that break at 7:40, okay?
Yeah, where are you going with that? You got to have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
You're just screwing up the clock.
Less is more.
That's right. Brevity is the key. Less is more. Brevity is the key.
Don't talk to Trudy on the air. If you're going to talk to Trudy, do it at the end of the newscast, when she's got that funny kicker story. Make a little joke about that rim shot and boom into music.
Right, right. And start this bit at this point because that's when so and so is doing his sports over there. We want that bit to run against that.
Yeah, you didn't get into the bit clock until 6:07.
That's right.
What's going on, guys? Come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, Osham, our boss, he really wasn't discouraging us. It wasn't his fault.
No.
You know, the powers that be who determine the personality show is going to be CSX.
Mm-hmm.
So we started playing less and less music.
Less and less.
Before you know it, there were really only two songs an hour.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it was a different morning show.
Totally.
And some people started digging it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that range book came out, and it was a lot better.
Yeah.
Than the old eight songs an hour deal.
Wasn't this around the time when OJ killed a few people?
No, that was later.
That was like
two years
after that.
Yeah, that was a couple years later.
Was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Those two years, that period went by very slowly.
It sure did. Oh, wow. Was that slow.
And then, we were getting bit by, I'm trying to think of an example. Maybe like Blue Oyster Cult would agree to come on. Nobody would come on this show. And then they'd call at the last minute and go, well, it turns out CSX, if we go on your show, we can't go on CSX.
Yeah, right.
It was like Jay and Dave occasionally. Yeah, it didn't happen that often. But
yeah, but there was the blacklisting thing going down.
And then when we ended up in the same building, I do recall a near fisticuffs at the front door.
Oh, yeah.
over. Who was that over?
Burt Ward.
Burt Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
eventually.
We were going to have him first.
Right.
Because we booked them first, and then they went in and said, hey, we want them first.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, you know, he's only Burt Ward. Who cares?
Right, right, right.
And I think Rob, didn't Rob, like, hide in the bushes or something while CSX was waiting at the door? Rob was hiding in the bushes.
I did.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just grab Burt Ward
at gunpoint. Yeah.
Actually, Burt said he had to go to the bathroom, so CSX's producer took him to the bathroom. I went into the bathroom and said, you got to go this way. Like, Dave was like, oh, I'll be right back. And he ran down the hallway. Well, I don't think I let Bert zip up his pants. And I grabbed him and took him around the other way.
Yeah.
And I just remember their producer going ape nuts outside the studio. Remember that when we first brought him in?
He was screaming
out in the hallway.
Yep. And by now.
And we always got blamed. It was always our fault, too.
Right, right.
Because we were the new show.
Yeah. And then by then, we'd also gone through the point where we weren't playing any music now. And also, we'd had more PD and top management changes. Remember the Clint Sly era,
mm-hmm.
with the Harleys and everything else?
Yeah.
And then that all changed. And then Bobbitt came along.
Oh, yeah.
And then that was a critical point.
That was a big move.
Yeah, and we were firing on all cylinders, I think, about then, too, by the way.
But Bobbitt got us we had a lot of PR.
Press.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, and then we got a lot of promotion for the very first time from that. And then we moved down, and then... And then we reached the point where the blacklisting and grabbing Burt Ward. Yeah.